What a week, right? Kath, does Max still have any of that green stuff behind his ears? I know when I got slimed, it was for a couple days still finding stuff, slime on my body, right? But great week. I want to just say about Wednesday night for The Chosen, we're going to unlock the doors at 6:30. So if you want to get a bite to eat on Main Street in Maple Shade, come on in, sit in the air conditioning. We'll get started around 7, but we will unlock the doors. Everyone's invited to come on out Wednesday night. Well, you know, this time last week, man, like the decorations were all around, and we were hours away from kind of waiting for, you know, the kids to see their response. And it's always so worth it, right? The kids come in. Oh man, to see them, you know, first off, your creativity, many of you building walls and hanging planets and do all these things that point us to God's creative handiwork. But then to see the kids come in, ooh, ah, wow, look at that. Oh, just that sense of awe as they are looking at decorations that point them to the real creative hand of Almighty God. What a week to see that and to see it unfold. Then, of course, last night, if you were at least in our town, if you were around here, last night a lot of Maple Shaders were looking up to the sky. Greta and I, we just sat two chairs in our driveway. We have a perfect view of the fireworks. Oh, we missed a couple of the little low ones, but just her and I sitting there watching them. And as we were last night, looking up and ooh, ah, wow. I don't know if it caught your attention, but for me at least, the fireworks were up here. And this light over here kept every so often getting my attention. And it was the moon with clouds passing by it, but with all of its brightness. And what a reminder for me of the ooh and ah of the fireworks. But of really what's beyond that, far beyond that, and all that is around us that is stunning, that is thrilling. I remember years ago reading the words of a woman named Megan MacArthur, and she was part of the team that was, you know, producing all of the photographs. She was a NASA astronaut, but part of the team that dealing with the Hubble telescope, and daily for her, she was looking at new photos. But she said, I don't know how many different ways you can say wow, amazing, or cool. Right? It never got old to her. Wow, look at this new thing I'm seeing. How does creation move you? What does it move you to? Or who does it move you toward? In 2009, I did a sermon series called What a Wonderful World. And as we were coming up on this VBS and the Stellar and everything, I just kind of sensed the Lord calling me to plunge back into that sermon series from almost 14 years ago, and to kind of be refreshed in it, to renew it, to get some new information. And we're going to be doing that for the rest of the summer into the fall, looking at different aspects of God's creation that I hope seeing general revelation will point us to the special revelation of His Word, which will draw us what? To Him. And I hope that you will find yourself saying, wow, God. Awesome God. Cool God. And I know He can do that, and He will, if we're willing to look. So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is so vibrant and reveals to us such eternal truths about You. We ask that You'd let us glimpse You today in a fresh way. Cause us in a fresh way, in a deeper way, in a more exalted way, whatever it may be. Cause us, Lord, to say, wow, what a God. Cause us to move closer to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The first thing I want us to see is taking time to discover, to look. I don't know how many of you this week picked up some item and said, What's in this item? Some of you do it all the time, right? You're checking ingredients, you know, but sometimes just, what is in this item? You're doing what? You're taking time to consider what it is you're about to put in your body or put on your skin or whatever it may be, right? David says how important that is for us as human beings on this planet in Psalm 8, in the 8th Psalm. When he says what? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. We're going to see in this series sometimes how incredibly gigantic God is and wow. But we're also going to see how amazing God can be in some of the tiny things, right? What does he say in verse 2? From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. This incredible sense of our God. Verse 3, he says what? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, when I consider them. Now, the word he uses there is the word ra'ah. It's R-A-A-H, right? But it's ra'ah. When I stop, the word means to what? To kind of examine, to investigate. And it's interesting because it's the same word that's used when Jacob first sees Rachel, who's going to be his wife. It says that Jacob saw Rachel, but it's ra'ah. It's not like Jacob went, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's more like Jacob went, whoa, 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 who is this, right? And I can remember that experience, I can say it honestly, with when I first met my wife, Greta. I probably remember it partly because of the humor around it. I was in a car with one of my college roommates, and I had just said to him, it was my senior, I had just said to him, you know what? We need to forget about, you know, forget about the girls this year. And let's make this a real, our final year, all about us, you know, as roommates. And I think, you know, we were, you know, just, I don't know if we drove a minute and we were going out a road and there was Greta. And I remember, I just instinctively, I went, whoa, who is that? And he was like, yeah, quite a year it's going to be, the year of the guy here, but in my mind, I thought, I want to get to know her better. I want to learn more about, you know, her and consider her more. And that's really what the word is about. Because let's be honest, we're well aware of the fact one of the temptations that we have, one of the struggles that they didn't have, is the inventions we've come up with, such as the light bulb and electricity and, of course, cell phones, and you know that our eyes can be on no matter where we're going, right? And it's so easy for us to miss the show around us. This week I was going over, we were going over to see our little granddaughter, Claire. I mean, we had seen her before, but going over, I hadn't seen her in a couple weeks, you know. I don't know, she's 3 weeks old. So we were going, and we walked in the door, and I could see Natalie, our daughter, over there holding her baby, and my eyes are on Claire. But before I could get to her, Maverick, who is their dog, Maverick was jumping and pulling me and scraping me and gnawing my hands and spinning and doing flips and this and that. And I'm going, okay, Maverick, all right, stop licking my face. And Maverick was all over the place, right? Why? Because as I'm saying, here's where I'm going to go see, Maverick's saying what? See me, don't miss me. Don't you see what I can do? Look at this, wow, but boy, you know, be amazed with me on your journey to go see Claire. And boy, it stood out to me, that sense of, you know, while you're, wherever you're headed and you're so focused and this and that and all, creation is all around us saying, hey, don't miss me, right? Don't miss what I'm shouting out. Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. all the time, shouting it out, and we can miss it. It makes me think about Genesis chapter 1 and just how it must have been, right? To hear God say, let there be light, and there was light. To hear God say what? Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and the dry land and the waters of the sea. You know, wow. Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so, right? In other words, God spoke it. And listen, he spoke it with age. When God said, let there be trees, they didn't all start as little saplings. Somebody may say, oh, well, don't you realize, you know, that rock is, a million years old. All right, God created it, you know, as a pretty old rock, you know. It's God, when you're talking about creating everything out of nothing, right? Wow, look at this. Wow, the vegetation, this and that, incredible. And then God does what? He creates mankind. Again, does he create Adam as a little embryo? No, he creates Adam already in a state of age. Somebody says to you, well, the creation story doesn't work because we know that that mountain formation is so many years old. Yes, God created it that old, right? You know, he created Adam already as an intelligent, you know what I mean, at least young adult being. And imagine when Adam is created, he opens his eyes, he's on earth, and he says, ho-hum, I guess this is where I live now, right? No. Does he say, wow, amazing, this dust around me must have millions of years somehow turned into me? You know, no, obviously not. Adam opens his eyes, and there is God. Right? I love the way Calvin Miller presents it in his beautiful, you know, story of the singer, when he says there is God with mud still dripping from his fingers, right? With how he created Adam. But that sense of Adam, God says to him, wow, this is your new home. Then in Genesis chapter 2, we get the creation story told from a different angle, and God shares how he takes a rib out of Adam, and he creates Eve. And then Adam, of course, is like, oh, great, I guess I have to share 50% of this with her now, right? No, Adam says, wow, you are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, incredible God, amazing God, awesome God. And God takes Adam and Eve to the Garden of Eden, and there he explains a little bit of what he's done. He reveals a little bit of how he's created, right? And here's what I have. Listen, but it's for you to explore, you and your children and their children, to go learn about it and be fascinated and find new things, right? And Adam and Eve, of course, say what? Ho-hum. No. They say, hi-ho, hi-ho, right? It's off to Eden we go. That's really where it came. Forget the whole Disney thing. It was hi-ho in the garden. Look, did you taste this? That's amazing. Did you smell this over here? Wow, amazing God. Not ho-hum, hi-ho, right? Go on into that world. It's the message that Isaiah shares in Isaiah chapter 40, when he is... an incredible chapter where God's saying, comfort my people. But how are you going to comfort people who are struggling on earth? Only if they believe that the God who's telling them he's going to comfort them is bigger than everything that they're dealing with, right? That's what you have to decide. And that's what Isaiah tells them in Isaiah 40 verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure? We've sing that sometimes, you know, who has, you know, and it behold our God, right? We sing those words. Weighed the balance in a mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. Stop and discover. Wow. See more of it. And when you see it, Let it point you where? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Isaiah says, when you take the time to discover, wow, make sure you see, right? Make sure you see it and know who it is, right? Verse Psalm 8, David says, when I consider the work of your hands. Isaiah 40, lift up your eyes and consider the stars. Be inquisitive. Christians are not afraid of science at all. Not at all. Real science, right? Be inquisitive. Question what they're made of. Find ways to see things, right? Know that God's saying, discover it all. I put it there. You don't need a lot of money to get some really expensive, gigantic telescope. We're going to see in this series, you want to be amazed at the creativity of God? Go lay down in the grass. Go pick up a little baby. Sit quiet and listen to yourself breathe. We're gonna, there's just things that we just blow by that are shouting out to us. There's no way that they would be there without a God who is fascinating, without a God who has splashed this world with splendor for a purpose, for us to be moved by it. And that's the second thing. Take time to discover. Take time to consider. But then take time to be moved by what it is that you see. Back in Psalm 8, what does he say when he's out there looking? And, you know, maybe this for you, we're going to be around a campfire this week or whatever, wherever God's going to have you, right, in the night sky. What does David say in Psalm 8? When he discovers, right, what does it cause him to do? Verse 4, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? When I consider how incredibly vast it is, and I realize we are nothing. Dr. Tony Evans says this, the modern person tends to be full of himself or herself because God is so small in his or her eyes. But when we see God as he truly is, we understand how truly minuscule we are. And if you let that land on you properly, it will move you to what David says in verse 5. And yet you have made him, you've made me, you've made us as people a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. How is it possible, God, with all of your greatness and how tiny we are, that you would place us in such a position, in such an ability to see and to be moved? Scott Hosey wrote a book all about fascinating aspects of creation. And he talks about man's unique role. He said, mankind, men and women, he talks about him and his wife were snorkeling in the Caribbean. Now, they weren't out on a boat. They were on a beach, and they were just kept going snorkeling further. But they're into it, and they had a notepad of things they wanted to find, right? And he said, I remember being snorkeling and like, ah, there it is. And it was a midnight parrotfish. I have no idea what a midnight parrotfish looks like. But he went out to the beach and climbed on the beach, and he checked off midnight parrotfish. I saw one. And he said, as I was doing it, I realized something. None of the fish were looking at us and going, ah. Going somewhere, right? To say, you know, male Caucasian human being, you know, I saw one in the water, right? That it's our unique role. Genesis 1:26, that what? God said, let us create mankind, human beings, in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this incredible God of personality, that what? That God has given us the ability to go, wow. Did you? They put just the right ingredients into that panzerotti that I could eat one every day, right? Wow, God. Amazing. I don't know if in heaven he's going, it wasn't meant for panzerotti, you know. But my point, just the wow, went for us to be the ones. Paul Davies wrote a book called The Fifth Miracle, and he talks about, you know, scientific naturalism. Now, there are a lot of scientists out there who honestly know they have to call themselves, you know, scientific naturalists, because they can't just say they're a scientist in the sense that they just look at the evidence and where does it lead us. But no, he interviewed many of them, and he said scientific naturalism takes as its starting point, not the evidence, but the assumption that life wasn't made by a god or a supernatural being. It happened unaided and spontaneously as a natural process without divine intervention, right? That's nothing new. It's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, right? And what does he say in verse 19? About those individuals, that because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Because what they're saying is, there is no God, and now we're going to discover. And it comes to verse 25 when he says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So in other words, when you're moved, what are you being moved to? Wow, incredible. Wow, star, you are so incredible. Wow, beach, you are so infinite in your grains of sand. Wow, universe, you stun me. And that's what some are being moved to, right? But what we're talking about is what? To see God's creation for what it is and to let it move you toward the Creator, which is why Paul says in Romans 1:25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so Isaiah says, see the stars. And when you do, what does Isaiah say? See the one who put them there, right? If you were here in 2009, you may remember me using this illustration, because I think at the time there had been a lot of excitement about the Sombrero Galaxy that had been found. And maybe you heard me kind of, I need to do things that help me get a piece of something that's far too big for me, right? And so they were talking about the Sombrero Galaxy that's out there, right? And to understand how far away it is, you have to understand a light year, because it's measured in light years, right? Well, from our perspective as human beings, a light year is, light travels 6 trillion miles. From our measurements, light travels 6 trillion miles in one of our years. So a light year for us, if it is like 6 trillion miles, that's what light travels in a year. So I was trying to get a sense of, you're telling me light years, and light travels 6 trillion miles in a year, so that's one light year. All right, how about me? You know, how do I fit into that? Well, the most I've ever driven in a day is, I drove about 1,000 miles in 1995 when I went down to Dothan, Alabama to get my master's in ministry degree. You know, I didn't drive it all in one day, but I drove 1,000 miles. It took about 16 hours or so. I ate McDonald's for breakfast and lunch and dinner and a late night snack or whatever. You know, you're just driving and driving. But imagine if I sat in my car and set my car to 65 miles per hour. At the end of the 24-hour day, I've traveled 1,560 miles. If I stay in my car going 65 miles per hour, at the end of the year, I've traveled 570,000 miles, all right? Now, if I want to travel one light year, I have to stay in my car, in that illustration, for 10 million years. Now, a little bit of encouragement for those of you going on vacation, you're taking your kids with you. Imagine you are taking your kids to the Sombrero Galaxy. You've now been driving in the car for 10 million years. Your child says, "Are we almost there?" The Sombrero Galaxy is 28 million light years away. So your child says, "Dad, are we almost there?" And you say, "Well, we've only got, right? We've only got what? 27,999,999 more light years to go, and we'll be there, right?" But, you know, to get this sense of what is beyond our ability to understand, that's why David looks at it and says, "Wow. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." That's why the hymn writer says, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. It moves me, my soul sings, how great thou art." Take time to discover, take time to be moved, but lastly, take time to be loved by God. Because Isaiah says what in Isaiah chapter 40? After he says, "Look at the stars, know that God's keeping them all in place, know that he knows every one of them," he says this, "Do you not know, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary." When I sit and go, "Wow, God, amazing God," and I realize it's him, and I'm moved by it all, something happens. All of a sudden, I realize as I'm beholding it all, I'm being held by the one who put it all there. Whew. It's no wonder one of the more famous maple shaders, I was a year ahead of him in school, but he's traveled the world, used by God, Paul Balash. No wonder he wrote these words, "When I feel the mystery of a distant galaxy, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high." Whew. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Whether you're sitting here or you're watching from home, that's what it's all about, to look and go, "Wow, incredible. Oh my goodness, I'm so small. God is so amazing. And yet he cares about us so much that he sent his son." The writer to the Hebrews says, we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand. We have a high priest who passed through the heavens, the Son of God, the very one who Scripture tells us all things were created by him. Jesus, God the Son, God's vessel to put the stars in space, and Jesus passed through it all and became a child and came to this earth. Why? Because he loves you. And if you'll come to him in faith, "Oh, Almighty God, I'm undone by how powerful you are. I'm so aware of my tininess, but I believe you love me, and I put all my faith that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin, that he rose from the dead. Oh, God, save me." Maybe you're a child of God, and you've just forgotten how big your daddy is, right? Because the neighbor looks bigger, right? The voices in our world, they're intimidating, they're loud, they're noisy, right? They're contradicting themselves, they're flipping knowledge upside down. Listen, they're all gonna fall. Every opinion of man, they're all gonna fall by the wayside. The God who holds all things in space, he's holding you. He's holding you. Look to creation. Look to the world around you. And as we close, look to the cross. Take that communion cup in your hand and look and realize what we mean when we sang that Jesus emptied himself. We don't mean that when he became a man, he gave up being God. We don't mean that at all. We mean he gave up the right and the privilege to be treated as God on earth. He came humbly to death on a cross. In other words, as stunning as it is true, the very same Jesus who was hanging on that cross for my sin was holding the stars in space at the same time. God, holding it all, coming to the cross. Oh, Father, we thank you. How can we thank you, oh God? Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? What am I? What is man that you're mindful of him? But thank you, God, for what this cup and bread mean. We come in faith to the God of majesty, who is the God of love. Through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the very same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Behold and beheld by the God of all creation, and then praise him for it.